Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host the Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text and voicemail line always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. Send us all of your potential trade questions and inquiries, hypotheticals, as we get closer and closer to that NBA trade deadline on Thursday at 2 p.m. Central Time. We will get to as much of that content as we can on tomorrow's episode, when we will take what I'm guessing will be a trade-heavy episode of Mailbag. In the meantime, today wanted to get to a few different rumors about this Bulls team, where we sit currently, about 48 hours removed from the trade deadline, and what pieces are movable and what pieces are likely to still be around as we pass that trade deadline on Thursday. There have been a few rumors that have popped up, a couple various sources speculating that there is interest in certain members of this Bulls roster right now, that certainly, given their record and the state of the lack of health of this team, are going to be sellers, if anything, at this deadline as opposed to buyers. Before we get to that, just a quick note that in case you didn't see it, Zach LaVine has committed to doing the three-point contest at All-Star Weekend in Chicago next weekend. We had heard that that's something that he was interested in doing, and I personally am thrilled that he's doing this, because before that, with Wendell being hurt and not able to participate in the Rising Stars game, Zach LaVine getting snubbed for the All-Star team, Coby White not making the Rising Stars roster, it was looking like the Bulls might have precisely zero representatives at All-Star Weekend when Chicago is the host city, which would have been wildly depressing. It's still underwhelming that that we don't have an All-Star. We won't have a player in this the Rising Stars game either. And I know that some Bulls fans out there are disappointed that Zach is not doing the dunk contest, especially after it became as we learned of Aaron Gordon committing, we all started thinking about the potential for Aaron Gordon versus Zach LaVine rematch in the dunk contest, because, you know, the contest that those two put on, the show that those two put on, really revived a dunk contest that had been, you know, faltering and lacking real creativity and excitement in recent years. So I know everybody was eager to maybe see that. But I think Zach's commitment to the three-point contest and not the dunk contest affirms what we had been hearing and what, like, the clues that had been dropped by Zach. Maybe he would have done the dunk contest if he made the All-Star team, but he also wants to be known than more than just a dunker in this league. And we also learned that he thought it would be cool if he became the first person in the history of All-Star Weekend to win both the dunk contest and the three-point contest, not in the same year, obviously, but even in the span of their NBA careers. Nobody has won both contests. There have been a small handful that have participated in both and won one or the other, but nobody's won both. So perhaps Zach can do that and put his own special mark on All-Star Weekend. Now, speaking of Zach LaVine, the first big rumor that I guess we should address is one that we learned via Zach Lowe and the Low Post podcast just the other day, where he had been saying, when talking with Brian Windhorst, that he, according to his sources, has heard that there are good teams calling the Bulls about Zach LaVine and his availability. Now, we don't know who those good teams are, just that we would assume that these are playoff-bound teams looking to add another scoring piece to their roster. We saw one speculation article from Sports Illustrated yesterday that had Zach LaVine linked to the Dallas Mavericks, but the proposed trade in that particular SI column was, I think, grossly imbalanced in favor of Dallas giving up not nearly enough for the talent and the team-friendly contract that Zach LaVine represents right now. As far as what I believe the Bulls are willing to listen to when it comes to Zach LaVine, I would be shocked to see them move him. I know some Bulls fans have said, you know, they can trade Zach and essentially use him as the scapegoat. The reason this team has not been winning this season is not because of Jim Boylan, and is not because not because management failed to build the proper roster. And maybe they'll also, of course, use injuries as excuses, as they have been doing for years, but that, you know, Zach LaVine can't be the guy. And so trading him makes him the scapegoat instead of, you know, looking inward at who's really at fault here. While there is some truth to that, I still think the Bulls know how valuable Zach is when you compare production versus contract. And really, other than a select few of the players in the league right now that are on their rookie scale deals, i.e. Luka Doncic and Trae Young specifically, nobody in the league produces what Zach produces at the low cost that he's being paid. He's a 25 points per game scorer making less than $20 million a year. And he has two more of those team-friendly years on his contract after this season ends. So I would be shocked if the Bulls get an offer for Zach that they deem to be worthy of giving up the asset that he is. So I'm not saying that Zach LaVine is untouchable. And if the Bulls got an offer that they felt was a good change of course, that they might consider it. But that would have to be, in my opinion, a young rising star, another role player, and probably draft capital of some kind. I think that's how that's how highly they value Zach. And even if Zach is unhappy, which clearly he is right now, and you saw it with some of his body language and what he was doing on the bench of their recent blowout loss to the Raptors on Super Bowl Sunday, that was the latest piece of evidence in a long line of evidence that Zach is clearly frustrated with how poorly this team is doing and how little help he has and the fact that he and his coach are very much not on the same page. But just because Zach is unhappy doesn't mean the Bulls have to grant a trade request. And let me be clear, I have not heard anything, and we have heard no reports that Zach LaVine has formally requested a trade, whereas we have heard something like that about Thad Young, and we'll get to him in a second. But even if behind closed doors that has happened and Zach has come to the Bulls and said, I want out, they don't have to. He's under contract, and they, if they don't hear any offers that they deem worthy, don't have to move him, which is why I would be shocked to see them move him. I know some Bulls fans think that the Bulls should sell high on Zach LaVine, given what he has shown this season. And given their belief, those of you out there in Bulls Nation who are Zach LaVine doubters or haters or believe the narrative that he's an empty calorie scorer who's terrible defensively and all that, you know, we've heard those criticisms for the entirety of Zach's Bulls tenure. I mean, I would counter with a couple of things. A, he has improved defensively. He's still not a great defender, but he has improved. He's not an empty calorie scorer, in my opinion. Yes, he makes some poor decisions down the stretch. Yes, his basketball IQ is maybe not where you would want it to be for not only your leading scorer, but a guy who you are also asking to be a playmaker at times. But it's gotten better, and he's still one of the highest rated clutch scorers in the NBA this season. And that team-friendly deal to me is so valuable that even if you don't believe Zach is the best guy on a good team, and I would put myself in that category, I think that even as he continues to improve, he will reach his ceiling in maybe another year or two and still has lots of years of his prime ahead of him. He's probably best suited as a complementary piece on a really good team. That doesn't mean that you have to trade him. Making the decision that Zach is not piece 1A on a contending team as you're trying to get a rebuild off the ground does not mean that he's not a piece worth keeping. Because if the Bulls fix several other problems that exist right now, which of course go way above Zach LaVine, he can still be a piece for the next couple of years while you're retooling this roster and looking for that number one star that's worth holding on to. And that, again, that's just my personal opinion. Because it's not often you can find guys in this league that give you the production Zach does for the price that he's doing it. It's very valuable. And I think the Bulls know how valuable he is on that contract. And that's why they will not trade him before Thursday. Before we get to other Bulls players that are in the NBA rumor mill as we near trade deadline, just wanted to talk to you about your opportunity to advertise with the Locked On Podcast Network. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Bulls is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Bulls fans, just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. And not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Locked On Bulls fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. Okay, few other names on this Bulls team right now connected to the NBA rumor mill. Let's start with Chris Dunn. This is an interesting one because we know that the Bulls shopped Chris Dunn last offseason. They thought with, you know, the addition of Kobe White in the draft and the addition of Tomas Satoransky in free agency that Chris Dunn was expendable. But he had no market value last summer. And the Bulls got no offers. Or, you know, if there were any lukewarm interest out there, none of it got very far. But we didn't even hear any specific teams that may have been interested in Dunn's services. So the Bulls tell Chris Dunn, we're going to change your role. We're going to ask you to play a reserve role and really set the tone for our second unit and really, you know, focus on being a defense-first player for our team that wants to really be an elite defensive team this season. And Dunn, to his credit, embraced that role and served it dutifully until, you know, this injury and that injury and that injury forced Dunn into the starting lineup where Jim Boylan has relied upon him heavily. And, you know, to Dunn's credit, he's made these great achievements on the defensive end this season, you know, among the NBA's league leader in steals per game, total steals, you know, just recently matched a Bulls record for a number of steals through the 50-game mark, I believe, up there with, you know, the greats like Scotty and MJ, all defensive team kind of players. And to his credit, he's improved his finishing at the rim a little bit this season. He's attacking the basket more in the last stretch of, you know, 5 to 10 games and shooting the three ball less, which is good because we all know and we've all had our fun at Dunn's expense about how terrible of a three-point shooter he is. But now there's another wrinkle in this, and that is the MCL sprain he suffered the other day. Bulls gave an update saying that he will be reevaluated in 2 weeks' time, and we'll go from there. So we're not quite sure, shockingly, because it's the Bulls, how severe this injury is right now. And while Dunn may have been building up his trade value with his solid play, especially on the defensive end, the injury puts a big hit on that trade value because teams are always wary of trading four players who are currently going through an injury, especially if that injury is one that is not specifically defined, which is the situation the Bulls are in right now with Chris Dunn. I think the injury is enough to kill whatever trade value was there for Chris, knowing that, yeah, he could be a solid reserve player on a playoff-bound team who can run a second unit, you know, competently, if not, you know, wonderfully, and certainly give your team some extra defensive push, especially in playoff series where the game slows down, there's a lot of half-court sets, and Chris Dunn can do what he does as a half-court defensive player. I think Chris Dunn stays. And the other element to that is, what does Chris Dunn mean to this Bulls team now compared to what he did last summer? And are they interested in keeping him around? And there's another detail, and this came to us from Bobby Marks just earlier this morning. Chicago confirms that guard Chris Dunn has an MCL sprain of his right knee. Dunn is six starts away from reaching starter criteria and seeing his $4.6 million qualifying offer this season increase to $7.1 million. So that's an interesting wrinkle as well. If it is a minor MCL sprain and Chris Dunn has the next coming week and then the week leading into the All-Star break to rest his knee, and it turns out that this is not a season-ending injury, then given all the other injuries this Bulls team has, it's fair to assume that Dunn would start at least six of this team's final 30 games, if healthy, which would raise that qualifying offer significantly to $7.1 million. But I don't necessarily think that that is a deal breaker, or that changes anything drastically when it comes to the Bulls and whether or not they will try to keep Chris Dunn this summer. Because I do think, based on what I've heard, that Dunn's value on the free agent market this summer, especially considering that the 2020 free agent class is pretty underwhelming, could be not a lot over $7.1 million, but at least a couple or a few million over that. I'm hearing something like a two or maybe a three-year deal with a team option on year three, somewhere between $9 and $10 million. That's the figure that I'm hearing right now as far as what Chris Dunn could get on the open market this summer. So the Bulls, with Chris Dunn as a restricted free agent, could match such an offer if they so choose. But I think because that appears to be the number tied to Chris Dunn's value on the market right now, it would be surprising to see him take that qualifying offer of $7.1 million. I think there is, you know, a chance that, say, this injury is significant and it's not only a season-ending injury but one that questions how healthy he will be coming into next season and will have to spend the offseason rehabbing, and maybe he's not completely healthy and, you know, isn't ready for full, you know, basketball activities when, you know, training camp in September of 2020 rolls around, then maybe he thinks about taking that qualifying offer. But again, that's only if this injury is much worse than a minor MCL sprain that could keep him out, you know, 4 to 6 weeks total, including the, you know, the first 2 weeks here that that he will be resting it and then reevaluate it in 2 weeks. So I think that there's not a lot of value for Dunn right now between now and Thursday because of this injury, and that for that reason and for the Bulls wanting to see if they can keep Chris Dunn around as part of this core now that they have, you know, grown this new appreciation for what he offers them, that he will be here past the trade deadline. Maybe if he didn't get hurt, that changes. But I still think that a lack of real interest around the league and the Bulls' own interest in seeing if they can keep Dunn around on a reasonable deal would have kept him here anyway. But I certainly think that this injury hiccup now almost cements the fact that Chris Dunn will stay. So that brings us to the two other pieces of this roster that are most likely to be traded between now and Thursday. And of course, that is Thad Young and Denzel Valentine. Let's start with Thad. We've heard repeatedly that the Clippers are at least one team that is interested in Thad Young's services, but that they are looking in a lot of directions to bolster their roster for what they hope to be a deep playoff run behind Kawhi and Paul George, and that maybe a Thad Young for Mo Harkless trade would make sense for both teams. And I certainly see the logic to that. Thad Young was unhappy with his role because, you know, 20 to 30 games or so into the season, he felt like his role was not the role that was defined and pitched to him when the Bulls pitched him in free agency. Yeah, he knew that he was going to be playing behind a starting front court that was very young in Lowry and Wendell, because that's what this rebuild is about, but that even coming off the bench, he was going to get more minutes than the, you know, the measly 20 or a little over 20 per night that he was getting. And we also know that because of that, Thad went to his agent and said, hey, if this doesn't change, start talking with the Bulls about getting me out of here. I'm unhappy. I want to play more. I'm not happy with my role. And go make a trade happen. And then Wendell got hurt. And then Lowry got hurt. Gafford's been nicked up. So Thad Young's playing more now. He's playing more on a still woeful team. So I don't know if he's that much happier with some increased minutes, including some starts recently because the Bulls are decimated by injuries. I would bet that even with his increased role recently, he would much rather be elsewhere. So do the Bulls find a trade with the Clippers or another team that they feel is fair to move on from the failed Thad Young experiment, get themselves some kind of asset to move forward with this rebuild, and essentially also do Thad Young a solid, a well-liked, well-respected veteran who comes to the Bulls and says, hey, we tried this, I appreciate the opportunity, but it's not working, and it would be really appreciated if you could find a trade for me. The Bulls, you know, have done things like this in the past. They've accommodated a player, you know, quote unquote, do right by Thad Young. They did right by Nico when he said, hey, you got to trade me or you got to trade Bobby, but, you know, ideally trade me because I want a fresh start somewhere else. The Bulls did that. As disastrous as the three alpha season was, and as terrible of idea as it was at the get-go, they gave D Wade the out that he wanted and paid him an absurd amount of money for one pointless season, including giving him a significant portion of that guaranteed money in the second year of his deal to let D Wade walk away. So there are a couple examples recently of the Bulls doing right by a player who wants out. Will they do it for Thad? Time will tell. I think it's decently possible that they move him before Thursday. And the Bulls front court is decimated, and Thad Young has been getting more minutes, but what are the Bulls accomplishing by keeping Thad Young around? Because a big part of why they brought him in was to be a veteran leader for a young team that's trying to learn how to win. Well, for their, you know, millions of problems, the Bulls are not a young team learning how to win this season. They're a young team still very good at losing. And yeah, they've taken a number of hits with injuries, but most of the reasons for losing can be pointed directly at the coach that the front office deemed to be the right guy for the job. And Thad Young can't change that, no matter how much of a respected veteran he is in this league. So if the Bulls are, you know, called by some team, and again, I like specifically with the Clippers, knowing that they're interested, I think a Thad Young for Mo Harkless trade makes plenty of sense for both teams. And if I'm the Bulls, I say yes to that. We'll see. Because the Clippers might be calling, you know, damn near half the teams in the league to try and make the moves that they need to make to set themselves up for the back end of the season and a deep playoff run. And will the Bulls be so hot to get a, you know, a different asset for Thad and grant him his request for a trade that they are insistent enough to make that happen, that they are hot enough on the phone lines to make that happen? And to a very similar degree, I think the same is true for Denzel Valentine. A guy on an expiring rookie deal who clearly has not gotten along with this team's head coach. And it seems as though the Bulls are okay with that. The Bulls are okay with deciding that Denzel Valentine is not a piece of this team's future. And look, as some, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I am like some, you know, Denzel Valentine truther, some stan that has been constantly supporting him. Y'all know that's not true. I haven't been. I crack jokes with Jordan at Denzel's expense throughout the entirety of this offseason. I sat here a year and a half ago as the Bulls were getting ready for the 18-19 season and saying, oh, Denzel's coming into training camp with an injury that they're calling day-to-day. Oh, now it's more like week-to-week. And I told y'all, I said, what do you bet Denzel does not play a single freaking game this season? And that's what happened. So, yeah, I did not have high expectations for Valentine coming into this season because I didn't even believe that the dude could stay on the court. Why put, like, why bank a certain amount of your expectations for the team on a player who last season gave you precisely nothing? And in preseason, Denzel looked like he was having a rough time. He looked like a player who was still very much not in shape. He still looked like a defensive black hole. He still is, but he's not the only guilty party there on this Bulls roster. But the one thing he has shown us this season is that he gives you a few different things on offense. Not only is he a knockdown three-point shooter on a Bulls team that has been, for the most part, lacking quality three-point shooting this season, especially in the early going when Denzel was not playing at all, but he's also a smart offensive player. A gifted passer, high basketball IQ, makes strong passes in transition offense, and sees passes that not a lot of his teammates can see. He gives you that. And that could be very much so a valuable piece for a bench of a playoff-bound team. And we have heard recently, and this came to us from NBC Sports Chicago's insider Casey Johnson, that at least the Memphis Grizzlies and Philadelphia 76ers are somewhat interested in the services of one Denzel Valentine. And that makes sense. The Grizzlies, after a rough start, are fighting hard to stay in that picture of the playoffs in the Western Conference. You know, Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., exciting young duo, getting a lot of attention across the league. They could use some shooting. After watching them get absolutely trounced by the Miami Heat in their most recent disappointing game, it's very clear that the Philadelphia 76ers, a team that many picked to go very deep in the East this year, also desperately need some shooting. I've heard maybe a Denzel for Zaire Smith trade might be something that could interest both teams. Makes sense to me. The bottom line with Denzel is this, in my opinion. If the Bulls have decided that he is not on their list of priorities this offseason, in any way, not going to try and keep him around on a cheap veteran deal for a couple of extra seasons to see if he really fits in this rebuild. If they are committed to sticking with Jim Boylan beyond this season, clearly Zach LaVine Denzel Valentine and Jim Boylan are at odds, and that they would be prepared to just let Denzel go. But don't let Denzel walk for nothing. The Bulls have too often done that with players that they could get something for at the deadline and choose not to. And the Bulls have to be realistic about their readiness to say goodbye to Denzel, and the fact that this season is basically a lost cause at this point anyway. And so if you can get a young prospect still with, you know, a year or two left on their rookie deal, even take a flyer on somebody who's on an expiring deal who is not Denzel Valentine, but a different piece you might be interested in signing on board for next season, or maybe a second round pick. If you can get something for Denzel, you do it. And also, much like, you know, Denzel is not the same, like, highly respected 10-plus year veteran in the league that Thad Young is, but still, do right by him. He has been nothing but professional this season, as he has been inexplicably passed over in Jim Boylan's rotation to a point that is laughable. If that is something the Bulls are okay with Jim Boylan doing, clearly that is a sign that they are moving on from Denzel, and it would be a egregious oversight and a unforgivable sign of incompetence and negligence, which, again, with this organization, no surprise, to not explore every possible avenue to send Denzel somewhere and get some asset in return. That, to me, is the biggest priority between now and Thursday for this team. You have to find some kind of trade for Denzel. If you don't, what are you doing? You're sitting with your thumb up your butt, not doing your job. In the words of a once great Bulls head coach, do your job. The Bulls management must do their job between now and Thursday. Face the reality, sell the assets that you have to put yourself in a better position to move forward. And it's not like the Bulls have a lot to sell right now, but they do have a couple of pieces that they can sell that other teams around the league who are getting ready for a playoff push could find useful and would be willing to part with a few modest assets of their own to pry these assets away from the Bulls. All that being said, I would not be surprised if I'm talking to y'all on Thursday afternoon or on Friday morning and the Bulls made no moves at the deadline. Stand pat. Maybe make a cash considerations move, because we know how much they love those. Shout out to Jason Patton, Ricky O'Donnell, by the way. But I would not be surprised if, in addition to big core pieces like Zach and Lowry and Wendell, that Chris Dunn, Thad Young, and Denzel are all still on this team come Friday morning. Would not surprise me in the least. But we will keep ourselves plugged in on everything that is going on with this NBA rumor mill as we near that deadline Thursday afternoon. Be sure to check out the trade deadline special that NBC Sports Chicago is doing Thursday at 1:30. And that's streaming on there, my team's app, and also on NBCSportsChicago.com. Of course, in the meantime, keep your Twitter alerts set. Don't get fooled. Don't get fake wojed. Be a smart Bulls fan. Be a smart NBA fan. Set those alerts for the reporters and the newsbreakers that you trust. And don't buy into silly bullshit that you see on some one-off blog or website saying, oh, maybe the Bulls will trade Zach LaVine for a couple of, you know, second-round picks for the Dallas Mavericks. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. Of course, I will be keeping tabs on any and all related Bulls trade rumors over the next 48 hours. And, of course, in addition to those national newsbreakers like Woj or Shams, set alerts for our NBC Bulls insider, Casey Johnson, because you know that dude's plugged in. And have some fun. Throw us some trade hypotheticals between this afternoon, tomorrow morning, and Jordan and I will try to get to as much mailbag content as we can tomorrow. All trade deadline related. 331-979-1369 is that number. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thanks for listening, Bulls Nation. Enjoy Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
That's the growth plate.
Get on that bird and keep playing.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com